Hi, this is Dr. Ned Hallowell, and thank you for joining us for a mini distraction. Like our full-length show, these mini episodes will be different every time, only they'll be shorter. It's a crazy busy world and you don't have a lot of time. We get it. So these episodes are for you. Minis might include a few quick tips to help you stay focused, or they could be an interesting conversation I had at a coffee shop. Even we can't predict what we'll include. One of the points of this show is to prove to you the power of turning off your devices, whatever that might be. And to prove the point, we found a wonderful coffee shop in New Haven, Connecticut called East Rock Coffee. In this coffee shop, they don't allow screens, so all you can do there is eat, drink, and connect. And the first person we saw to interview was a wonderful woman named Anne Marie.
Did anyone explain to you why we were talking?
Yeah, a little bit.
I'm doing a podcast.
Yes.
People connecting with each other, which I think is a dying art in the country, and we need to promote it. You know, people are connecting electronically, but they're not connecting interpersonally.
Right.
And this place seemed like an epicenter of connecting, this tiny little coffee shop. So that's why I'm talking to you.
All right, fantastic.
I'm a psychiatrist and a writer.
Okay.
And nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
And your first name again is?
Anne Marie.
Anne Marie, and I'm Ned.
Okay.
I know the story of Anne Marie and her husband Patrick will draw you in instantly, as most stories of connection do if you make time to look into them.
Tell me a little bit about yourself.
Do you want to know the full story?
What's the full story?
The full story, I think, is really uncanny. So I had several dreams. I had dreams about meeting him before I met him.
Wow.
So when I met him, I knew who he was. I knew what he would sound like. I knew what his sort of biography would be, and it was all very consistent.
You had anticipated this in a dream?
Yes, yeah.
Before you even met him?
Before I'd even met him. Like, maybe that summer, I think, I had these dreams. It was one of these love at first sight. We met at a Thanksgiving dinner and saw him across the table and just literally, it really was love at, mutual love at first sight.
Wow.
It was like lightning bolts. It was amazing.
Wow.
It was amazing. So when I was with him, we had a very, what we would say, like very strong telepathic connection. So he would often, we're living in this community called Stell, and it had an apartment in Chicago, and he would often have appointments in Chicago. He would come home, and I would know. I would know he was on his way. I would just wake up, and I would know he was about to arrive. So we just had this strong, intense bond.
At this point in the story, we learn that Anne Marie and Patrick are going to have a baby. They need to think about the future.
One day, it was right around Mother's Day, I think, we were gathering roses, some wild roses, and we started talking about writing a will and what would you like done with your body if you were to pass away. And we were just thinking, we really need to get these, you know, documents together. And I said, well, I would like my ashes planted, you know, beneath a rose bush. And we had that discussion about death and ashes, and the next night I have a dream. And in the dream, I walk in the door, and the answering machine light, right, the little blinking light that tells you you've got a message is blinking. This is in the dream. So I walk in, I press play on the answering machine, and it's the voice of death.
Saying,
Patrick, this is death. It's your time to die. There's no way to avoid me. You will die. Now I'm really freaked out because there have been other times in my life where I've had dreams that then happened. So I'm like, okay. It's, I don't know, 1 in the morning. I call him. I'm like, I just had this dream. And he calms me down again and says, no, it's just your fear. And now that you've expressed it, it has no power over you.
Months go by, and Anne Marie's telepathic connection to Patrick plays out again.
I'm not expecting him to come home until Thursday evening. Tuesday evening, I suddenly wake up in bed and have that feeling of like, oh, he's going to be here. And I'm like, but it's Tuesday. He's not supposed to be home. And I walk down the stairs, and sure enough, he walks in the door. It's about 1 in the morning. And I said, so what are you doing here? Why are you here? And he says, I just had to see you. I just had to see you. So we kind of did our evening routine, ate some bananas, talked a little. He got to feel the baby kick for the first time. And for whatever reason, I had him sleep on my side of the bed. I slept on his side of the bed. And I watched him sleep all night long. The next morning, he's getting up. He has to leave to go back to work in Chicago. And I'm kind of fussing, and I'm like, do you have to leave now? Can you leave a couple minutes later? And he's like, no, honey, my appointment's at such and such. I really do have to leave by, I think it was 11:30. And I kept asking, are you sure, you can't just leave a little bit later? And he's like, what is wrong? And he stops, and he sort of holds me in the kitchen, and I just start crying. I said, I don't know. I just have this feeling like we haven't had enough time. And he's like, well, do you want to come with me? I said, yeah, let me come with you. So I kind of run to the stairs, and I hit the first step, and I'm like, there's no way I'm going to be able to get my bags packed and everything ready. He needs to be out by 11:30. I need to just deal with my own emotions here and not make this his problem. So I just said, honey, I can't get ready in time. Just go ahead. So he dropped me off at the post office on his way out of town. And normally, about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, if he's leaving for Chicago, I would get some sort of call. He did have a cell phone. But I don't get my usual call. And I'm not panicking at first. I'm not even really... I'm just like, You know, it's just that, Then more time goes by, and it's like, okay, this isn't right. So I start calling him, and it's going straight to voicemail. And then there was a knock at the door. Now, in this community that I live in, people don't knock. Two of my neighbors and a police officer, and I just said Patrick, and my neighbor just said, oh, Anne, and that was that.
And was dead.
Yeah.
What happened was that a mile down the road from where Patrick dropped Anne Marie off, he was hit by a car. What did you think of Anne Marie's story? My guess is that you were surprised, maybe enchanted, maybe a little scared. I don't know. I bet, however, that you were drawn in, wondering how could this stranger open up so much? Today's world has become far too full of fear and boundaries and holding back on life. And Anne Marie did just the opposite. Reach down inside and tell a story that is tremendously, tremendously interesting. That's why East Rock Coffee is such an enchanted kingdom, if you will. But the whole point of the podcast is for you to realize that anywhere you go can be a similarly enchanted kingdom, as long as you turn off your electronic devices and learn once again how to focus deeply on another human being. Distraction is produced by Collisions, the podcast division of CRN International. Collisions, podcasts for curious people. To hear more mini and full-length episodes, subscribe to Distraction on iTunes. Thanks for listening.